as we think of the book of Romans, we realize it's on salvation, and we're in this section now that's dealing with Israel, and this is a real problem for their thinking, because here they had thought, well, we are the people of God, and we have this special place, and if you're going to be blessed of God, you're going to have to become a Jew. You need to be circumcised. And so in every synagogue there would be those that were called proselytes. They would come in and they would be interested and looking maybe toward becoming Jews. Hopefully that was the goal of the Jews anyway. And so the question now comes, well, here there's been a change in the way God is working. What about Israel? And what is, why isn't he dealing with us as he has in years past, as being his people in a unique way, and being the channel of blessing to the world and so forth, and to really experience God's blessing and be praising him, you need to become a Jew. You need to be circumcised and keep the law. And so this is the struggle that they had in their thinking as to what's happening here as far as the Jews are concerned. We're going to read in chapter 9, verses 30 to 32 first, and Psalm 3 first.
What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not see righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law.
For they stumble as a stumbling stone.
Thank you, Sean. We'll read further in a minute or two. But I want to just talk on this, because here the whole question comes up, what's been the problem? In chapter 9, he's emphasized the sovereignty of God. And God is sovereign, and God continues to deal in a certain way, and then he can change his way of dealing, his mode of dealing. So you have no right to question it. He is sovereign over this world. He was just to use Israel for a while in a special way, he knew that. Or he could just discard Israel as a nation. Now this isn't talking about individual salvation, because in Old Testament days you could be saved if you were not a Jew, if you really turned to the Lord in faith and repentance. Men like Job, who was a righteous man and wasn't a Jew as far as we know, was certainly a believer. You'll see him in heaven. So that here the question is, now, what's God doing and why is he doing what he's doing? Why has he changed his way of, in a special way, working through Israel? Now he's going to, just the message goes out to the whole world. You don't have to become a Jew to please God. And what's happening? For the Jews, this is a big problem and still is today. Because the Orthodox element still thinks that they are uniquely the people of God, and Gentiles are on the outside. They're not God's chosen people. And this is part of Pontius Pilate's theology, the land of Israel. The Orthodox element says, get rid of the Palestinians. They should be out of here. This is our land. God has given it to us. And they go back to the promise to Abraham. And so there's still a strong feeling among the Orthodox that they are uniquely God's people, and others simply are not. Now, he talks here in this section here at the end of chapter 9. He's talking about how Israel was functioning. What was their mindset? And their thinking, the Jewish people was, you must keep the law. And by keeping the law, you will become righteous before God. And so the law was connected in their thinking with their being righteous. Being ultimately in God's heaven. They were seeking to go to heaven by law righteousness. And they say that they were distressed. And of course, this is why when Jesus was here, they would get on him very quickly about it, what they thought was any infraction of the law. And that included all the tradition of the elders. And so, if he healed someone on a Sabbath day, they were on him. And they said, you're breaking the Sabbath. How can you be a man of God? And how can you think you're pleasing God if you don't keep the law and all of its details? And so he says us here this fact. They were seeking the righteousness that they desired before God. But it was by keeping the law. Many people today have the same mindset. I really grew up with that mindset because although I wasn't circumcised like a Jew, I was baptized as a baby. And in the church where I was, that corresponded basically to circumcision. This is the way you became a Christian. You were baptized as a baby. Well, then what should you do? Well, now you should keep the law. So we were taught the Ten Commandments. You need to keep the law, and you keep the law, and ultimately you're going to go to heaven and everything will be great. And so I really was like the Jew under a law of righteousness. This is my way of thinking, and it marks many, many people today. You talk to them and you say, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm really a good person. I have a good heart. And they begin telling you about everything that they are doing, which they think is going to now pave the way to heaven for them. And that's seeking the Lord with this law righteousness mentality. And he emphasizes here that they have missed that. They haven't attained to this righteousness. Because they thought, we're going to get right with God this way, but they've been rejecting the righteousness God has provided through the Lord Jesus, and their mindset is, we must keep the law. Law, righteousness. Now, if you have that mentality, the problem is you don't really keep it. And this is the thing that bothers me as a young man. I wasn't really keeping the Ten Commandments. I certainly wasn't following my parents' ways. I was a typical adolescent. I was at the age where I thought I was as big as my dad, maybe bigger, and I didn't have to listen to him or anything else. And I had a terrible attitude. And I knew what the commandment said, honor your father and mother. So here I'm planning to go to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, and I'm not doing it. And so you had this frustration, and even Israel today acknowledges, although the Orthodox still say, well, you must keep the law, but acknowledge you don't do it. Because every day Israel celebrates Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And on that day, remember it's in the fall of the year, it'll be about another month I believe now, Israel was to have a day really of mourning over their sin, of bringing a blood sacrifice when they had the temple. And this was to take care of the sins of the people of the past year, sins, many sins they weren't even aware of. So they were acknowledging, although they were saying we've got to keep the law, they were constantly acknowledging we don't do it. We have to have a sacrifice to take care of our sins. And so he's trying to emphasize here the tragedy is then that they have not accepted the righteousness that God provides, and they turned away because they did not seek it by faith. says they did not seek it by faith, but by the law. And so there was this sad turning away, really, from the Messiah. Here the Lord Jesus comes, the Savior, His promise. But they were looking for a Messiah who'd be a great king, and who'd be reigning in power and glory, and Israel would be, of course, filled in all that glory. And it wasn't working out that way for the Lord Jesus. He came as a sacrifice for sin. And He sent for me to die, and so forth. And their idea of the Messiah was very different, and they rejected Him, they rejected His teaching, they rejected His call for repentance. There was this rejection of Him. He was God's building block, in a sense. What God had ordained for salvation, and they stumbled over it, and they refused to accept it. And so He expresses here the problem. They were seeking righteousness, seeking salvation by keeping the law. They pursued the law of righteousness. And now we're going to go ahead and read, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 10. And we'll read this chapter through.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law: the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preachers? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by your foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people.
Thank you. I emphasize it here. A great concern for the people of Israel. Those first three verses. He says it now. He says, it's a burden on my heart to see the faith. And Paul was accused in the sense of being a turncoat and turning against his own people and betraying them and relieving the faith of your fathers, and you're a renegade. you must hate the Jewish people. And Paul says, no, 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 I love the Jewish people, I'm a Jew. And he emphasizes the fact that I'm deeply concerned for my own people. He expresses this time and again. He says, I could wish that I were cursed. And in fact, he says, I could wish I could go to hell if all the Jews could be saved. And so he has this intense desire to see them saved. Now, we should have a desire for the lost, an intense desire. And what caused him to have this? I think it was the realization there really is a judgment, and there really is a hell. Because usually we tend to forget that. We're surrounded by a lot of people, many of them quite nice people, friendly people. You say they're good people, they're good citizens, and they're the kind you'd like to have for a neighbor, the kind you could borrow a lawnmower from if you need to, or whatever. And they're such nice people, it's hard for us to visualize these people as being lost and on their way to hell. And that there is a place of eternal punishment for sin. But I think this is very real to Paul, and this is why he felt so intensely, I long to see the Jewish people come to the Lord. Now he says, you know, they're very zealous. And they were that. They were a very religious people. The Jewish people at that time were the most religious people on earth. So that he's deeply concerned here for them, and he says, I want you to realize, you know, that I know where you're, how you're thinking, how you're functioning. And I want to read Philippians 3:3-7 also. Philippians 3:3-7. Now this is a section where Paul is giving his testimony, talking about the way he used to live and think. And he's emphasizing here the change that's come through salvation. And so I'll read for us again.
For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ.
Very good. So he describes his own background, and he says, you know, I was a very religious, zealous person. I grew up this way. My parents were very strict and very religious, and I was circumcised the eighth day. I came from a good tribe, and he had gone to Jerusalem and been trained in the school of the rabbis, and he was a very zealous young man who was becoming one of the leaders among the Jewish people, and, you know, one of the rising stars among their young rabbis. He says, I was zealous, very zealous for the law. And I was zealous also to the point of persecuting the church. I thought they were so wrong, they were deceiving people. I didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. I fought against them. I did all I could to destroy this movement. So he says, I understand your zeal. I was there once, a zeal for the law. For law of righteousness. But he says, I had to come to the point where I realized I could never be saved on that basis. And I turned away from all that I did. And he says, I counted it garbage in order I might gain Christ. And what a tremendous change of thinking. His mind had been for years in this mode of law of righteousness. You go to heaven by keeping the law. You must keep the law. You must be scrupulous about it. And his whole thinking is focused on keeping the law. And he comes to a point, and he was proud too. because he was a leader among the young Jews, and he was doing well. He was going to be one of the leading rabbis if he kept going. And he said, I turned my back on all that. And I said, it's no good. It won't do me a bit of good as far as getting to heaven or pleasing God, because I'm a sinner. I've broken the law and the Day of Atonement and all our sacrifices. Proclaim that fact. We aren't keeping the law perfectly. And you're going to go to heaven by keeping your law. You keep it all. And so Paul wants the Jews to realize, I understand where you're coming from, and you're zealous for God, but without knowledge. You don't really understand. And that's sad when you think of it today. There are still Jews today in various countries and cities, and in Jerusalem, there's a section of Jerusalem for the most zealous Jews. So if you go through there, you drive through on the Sabbath day, they'll throw stones at your car and they'll yell Shabbat. You aren't supposed to be driving on Sunday. Zealous for the law. But Paul says you're ignorant. You don't really understand. How sad. And we have to say that for many people today who aren't Jews. They're zealous for their church. They're zealous to try to live a good life. And yet they're not really saved. And it's a tragedy. So Paul here emphasizes the sorrow that he feels and the deep, deep concern. And that should mark us. It should mark us. There are so many people. I have relatives who are good church people, who memorize the Ten Commandments. And overall, they're good people, but they're ignorant. They're ignorant, really, of the true extent of their own sin and of the fact that Christ is enough to take care of them. So, we too need to have concern. We're surrounded by those who have a zeal for God, but they're ignorant, and they rejected the Lord Jesus, who is the only Savior. They rejected his person and his work, and they ridiculed him. And as he's hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying, they're scoffing at him and scorning him, and they spit on him, and they called him one who's possessed of a demon, and it was such a complete rejection of the Lord Jesus. How sad. Because he's the only Savior. And Paul here has this tremendous burden and concern for his people. And this should mark us too. We should never, in a sense, feel superior to others. We should feel compassion. And he didn't feel superior to these religious zealous Jews. He says, I was one of you. I know where you're coming from. I know your sin. I know how zealous you are. You believe you're right. He says you're wrong. You're ignorant. And so he's deeply concerned. Now, he goes then into the remaining verses, beginning with verse 3 and running to the end of the chapter, and he emphasizes Christ is the end of law, righteousness. Israel was clinging to law, righteousness. He says Christ is the end of that. You need Christ, and if you come to Christ as a sinner, lost sinner, you're going to be through with thinking of the law as being the basis of your acceptance with God. You're through looking at the law in yourself, because really, if you're law righteousness, if you're thinking of it, your own performance, how well you do, and usually you can find others that aren't doing as well. The Pharisee in the temple praying and saying, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men are. I'm religious. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of everything. I'm good. I'm trying to keep the law. They're surrounded by people I have that same mindset. But he says Christ is the end of the law. You're sinners, and if you're honest with God, you'll realize you haven't kept the law perfectly. Paul said, I came to that point. I realized God says you shall not covet, and Paul says, I coveted. He probably coveted other men's wives. He coveted money. I don't know what all he coveted, but he was convicted of that. I'm breaking God's law. And so he was deeply concerned himself to, as he realized, you know, I'm failing. I'm not keeping the law. Now, there were constantly, of course, through the whole sacrificial system, and we touched on this before, that they had to acknowledge we haven't kept it perfect. We say we need to keep it. But we haven't kept it perfect. I heard a man on the radio recently talking about Yom Kippur, and he's going to officiate at one of the Yom Kippur celebrations. And what the Jewish people are going to do at that time, those that are more religious, is that they're acknowledging we haven't been perfect. You know, we need to make some changes. It's kind of like we think of New Year's resolution. And they're acknowledging we have not perfectly kept the law. So he says, if you're going to go to heaven by keeping the law, forget it. You failed. No use saying, you know, I'm going to get there because of my righteousness, because you have failed. And then he's going to emphasize that Christ is the end of law righteousness. That it's faith in Christ that is going to save you. And he's going to talk about the simplicity of the gospel. And the simplicity of this message. To be a good Jew, you're meant to spend a lot of time learning the rules and trying to keep them. And they've multiplied rules, like for the Sabbath. So many different rules. So that the Orthodox are almost paralyzed on the Sabbath. You can't do anything. You can't cook. You can't drive your car. You can only walk a short distance. All of these things, you're trying to keep in mind all the rules to keep. And yet there's always a realization, I don't think I've kept them all. The simplicity of the gospel. And this is what he's going to stress here. And one of the things he emphasizes is that this faith in Christ is, of course, the message, and it's available to all. Such a simple message. He says it's available to all. Don't say it's far off. Somehow you're going to have to expend a lot of energy to get there so that you can be saved. He says this is available. This message is near you. It's even in your mouth. If you hear it, you can repeat it. And this message is available to all. There's no distinction. There's no partiality. And it's available to all. Now that's good news, because it means there's no racial preference at all. You can't say, well, I'm given preference because I'm a Jew and because I'm Caucasian or anything else. This is a message now goes out to Jew and Greek, to everyone on the same level, available to all. And it's available to all, regardless of your ability, regardless of whether you're real intelligent and educated. It doesn't require that. I used to have a sort of a short-tail relative up in Minnesota who was, I don't know if it's been a brain injury at birth or what, but he was slow. He wasn't very quick as far as learning. Probably never he'd gone past the 8th grade. He got that far. Had a job, was functioning responsibly, But the rest of the other members of the family sort of, you know, looked down on him. And I used to like to spend time with him. And they would wonder that, why are you spending time with him? And the truth was, he'd come to know the Lord, and there was just a simple, happy faith. He knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ, had died for him on the cross, and he was saved. Didn't require a high school education, a college education, or a bright mind. If you can understand some of these simple things, that you're a sinner and Christ died for you on the cross, regardless of your mental ability, you can be saved, available to some. Available to people who are limited, really, as far as their movement. You can be dying, and you can be saved. I remember once going to a hospital in Oklahoma City and visiting a man that I'd been asked to visit there. And while I was there, I talked to another man. And I asked this man, and he was terminal, I said, are you ready to die? He said, no, I'm not. I'm a sinner, and I'm not ready to die. And I said, what would you have to do to be ready to die? Or he said, in our church, you know, they say you've got to go down the mourner's bench and you have to pray through for a couple hours and confess your sins and weep and all the rest. And he says, I can't even get out of bed. Because I guess there's no hope for me. And you know, I told him the story of the thief dying on the cross, who was immobilized, he was crucified there. He couldn't move. Couldn't even lift his hand or his arm. And through faith in the Lord Jesus, he was saved. And the Lord Jesus said, you're going to be with me in heaven tonight. And the man said, I've never heard that before, but I believe it, and I'm going to accept it. I believe he died with peace. Available to all. You may be dying, and you may be unable to get out of bed, whatever your circumstance. This is a message for you. So it's wonderful when you think of the gospel message there as reaching out available to all who will turn and see. And it's a very simple message. It's a message all about Christ. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart man believes to righteousness, for the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Very simple. Message about Christ. What did Christ do? Well, he died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. That's important. Because that validates all his claims. That proclaims the fact that he really is who he claimed to be. And so we proclaim the resurrection. You've got to believe in the resurrection or you can't be saved. But it's such a simple message. And it's available. He says, if you hear this, it's available. And so today, it's exciting when you think there are gospel broadcasts going out throughout this country and throughout the world. The missionary stations, it's the Far East Broadcasting Company in the East. And the gospel is going out and it's wherever people hear, if they believe and accept the Lord Jesus, they can be saved. Available to all. They don't have to come to Jerusalem to be saved or anything like that. You know, you feel sorry for the Muslims. If you're going to be a good Muslim and hope to go to the Muslim heaven, you have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca in your lifetime. It's easier now with air travel, but it used to be, you know, they would travel thousands of miles by donkey, by ship, whatever, walking, because they had to do this, they had to go to Mecca in order to be sure of their heaven. He says, this message will come to you wherever you are, and if you hear it and understand and accept the Lord Jesus, you can be saved where you are, available to all. So it's a glorious message, a wonderful message that we have to give to people. And he emphasizes the fact that there is no partiality with whosoever believes, no partiality with God, no racism with God. Now, he stresses also the fact that faith comes by hearing the word, hearing the message, because the message is about the Lord Jesus. You have to hear about him, and you need to hear of his work, his death on the cross and his resurrection. As you hear the message, faith will come into your heart if you're open and willing. And that's kind of amazing. I think of the afternoon I was saved when I heard the message, and the realization came home to my heart, and I really believed it was true, that if I just accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I could be saved. And that afternoon I did that, and faith came by hearing. And so it is with people wherever they are. That's why we need to get the word out. We need to tell them in one way or another, give out tracts, witness to people. Faith comes by hearing. Because faith isn't just a good feeling. It isn't just a feeling of optimism. It's believing certain truths that you need to hear in order to believe. So he says, as I say, faith comes by hearing. Therefore, he says, you know, you need to pray that people will go out with this message. And the Lord Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now the last part, beginning with verses 18 to 21, talks about the fact Israel has rejected this message. Israel has rejected this Savior. And because of Israel's rejection, of course, God has had to reject Israel, nationally speaking, because of their unbelief and their turning away from him. And so he explains this. It isn't, in a sense, just an arbitrary thing God has done. You have rejected the Lord Jesus. You've rejected the way of faith. You're clinging to law and righteousness, and because of this, you cannot be saved. God will not save you. And so there's an emphasis there as he comes to the end on the sad reality of Israel's rejection. And he, you know, quotes several from the prophets there about their sinfulness and their rejection of the message from the Lord himself. And Israel today, as a whole, still is rejecting that message. Israel is one of the harder countries in which to be a Christian. In fact, you can be born a Jew, and you may say, I want to immigrate to Israel. But if you go before them and they ask you, are you Jewish in your faith, and you say, no, I've become a Christian, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, they would say, well, you're no longer a Jew, you're not welcome in Israel. They're still rejecting the Lord Jesus. That's sad. And so if you go today to Israel, you won't find a lot of churches there. And you find those that are Christians, it's not the easiest thing to live in that land. Israel still rejected. Days coming is going to change. In the next chapter, we'll look at that. But at present, they're still zealous for God. Some of them, a lot of them are just secular Jews. They don't believe in God at all. And that's the anomaly, really. You can be a Jew in good standing in Israel and not even believe in God. But if you believe in Jesus, you're not a Jew. You're not welcome. It shows the hostility still towards the Lord Jesus. And that's very sad. And it's sad today when you witness to people and you find them rejecting him and hostile towards the Lord Jesus. But let's remember, faith comes by hearing, and do what we can to share this message with others.